thought or our challenge about from God's Word. The question I want you to think, now I've had time to think about it, so you're not going to have as long a time as I have. But here's what I want you to picture. I want you to picture walking up to a toolbox. Now whether you keep yours in the back seat of your car, if you keep it in the trunk, whether you keep it out in the shed, whether you keep it in the carport, wherever you keep a toolbox, I want you to think for just a matter of moments here. If I gave you a challenge to walk up to your toolbox and you can only pick out four things, what would they be? Do you think about that for a moment? Because I brought mine with me and I cheated because I've had time to think about it. So let me just share this with you and see if you see how this relates. If I asked you to go home and look into your toolbox, what would you pull out? Now, I'm going to pick out four things that I think I'm going to have four, just four. So if I went to my toolbox, and I did this afternoon, and I stood there and studied on it a few minutes, and I said, well, I believe I'll take this, and I'll take this. So instead of rolling my big box in, I brought my little, because we were walking in the parking lot, and Emma said, Dad, they're thinking you're coming in here to work on something, not to. I said, well, you know, they might need something, but I'm not going to be much. I can supervise. Any supervisors here? I'm a good supervisor. You know, I can show you how to do it. But I walked into there, and here's my four tools, okay? Here's my four. Now, you hold on with me. We're going to get to this verse here. I think it's going to make all the difference. I walked up to my particular toolbox, and here's what I pulled out. Now, I don't know if you picked this in your mind in these last few moments, but I believe if I was picking out of my toolbox, this particular tool would be important for me. This is just me. Here's another one. I got four choices total. So I looked through my box and I said, I need a screwdriver. Do I need a Phillips or I need a flathead? Which one will I use more? So I decided I'd pull out the six-way and see I could go this way. And I could get two here and two down here. I could take this out and use that for a nut driver. And use those. So that particular tool, if I'm needing to change anything, small or big, Phillips or flathead, or maybe two, I could do it. So this tool, I think, this is me now, I think is beneficial. I got my tape measure. I got my six-way. And then I said, I need something that could help me if I get in the bind. So I pull this out. And I said, you know, I can take, now I've heard this thing called a lot of different things, but I'm going to call it a, what's the professional name for this, Brother McDaniel? What would you call it? That's what I call it, but I'm not going to tell you what I've heard other people call it because I'm like, where do they get, and it's not ugly, it's just like, where do they get that from? It don't even make no sense. But you take this crescent wrench, and I can kind of roll it to get a pretty good size, or I can roll it down, and I can get a small. So instead of having my whole toolbox of wrenches, I can just take the old crescent wrench and I can use it. And then I had one more pick. And I sat and studied there this afternoon looking at that toolbox. And I said, I need one more pick. I've got my six-way. I've got my measuring tape. I've got my crescent wrench. So I said, here's the last thing that I need. That'll move anything, right? That'll move anything. If it needs moving, that'll move it. So I took my tools, and I looked through them, and I picked out four tools that I thought would really help me. But here's our point for tonight. Look at this passage of Scripture. Go ahead and roll it, brother. I got it up there, I think, on the next one. They could turn to it, but I got it right there before us. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 14. And for these next few minutes, Lord, we ask you to take these few simple thoughts. And Lord, I pray that they would be an encouragement to someone that's here tonight. Lord, we realize the ministry of the camp is just like any other ministry. It's a tool of opportunity. that we can use. And Lord, these people here at this dear church, Lord, through the years have been faithful to you, and Lord, they've outreached, and Lord, they've been a ministry to this community and beyond. And Lord, over these next few minutes, I want to encourage us, Lord, to look at our own selves, Lord, and see if we might be able to strengthen our own personal lives tonight. And Lord, we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:14. You know the verse. Listen to what it says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, Paul, we know, is writing here his second letter to Timothy, the young preacher. And in this particular verse, Paul emphasizes Timothy to do something. And what he emphasized him to do was simply to continue. Now, that word continue is a very interesting word, for the fact that that word simply means to remain, to stay on. And Paul is writing, because as he's writing this particular chapter and this particular letter, we know what's happening. His life is coming quickly to an end. And he's leaving behind some valuable information. I believe he's leaving behind some valuable tools to this young preacher, Timothy. And one of the things he emphasizes Timothy to simply do is to continue in the things which he has learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And I began to think about, what are four tools, not out of my bag, but from God's Word, that will help us to continue in the life that we're living today? They're really simple. And when I give them to you tonight, you're going to already know them. But I hope that they'll refresh you and remind you. And here's what I really hope. The next time you walk into your garage, the next time you go out to your truck or your car, next time you go out to the barn and you reach to pick up one of these tools of some type, I hope you'll remember, not what I particularly said, but I hope your mind will just pause for a moment when you're reaching to get that hammer to do something around your house. I hope you'll realize, just as valuable as that tool is that you're picking up to put in your hand, I hope you'll realize that the tools I'm fixing to give you are of greater value than any tool you'll ever pick up out of a bag. Let me share them with you. Four tools that I believe will help us to continue in the life that we live as a Christian. Number one, get in God's Word. Do you realize whether we hold it by paper or whether we hold it electronically? And by the way, I'm not against electronics. I have them on my phone, I have them on my iPad, but for me personally, as I come to God's house, for me personally, I love to hold a copy of God's Word. I love to hold it. Now, just because somebody else does it, that is particularly fine, but I love to hold the pages of God's Word. But here's the key to getting into God's Word. We got to read it. And once we read it, you know what we have to do? We have to apply it to the life that we live. Now, here's something I've learned through the years that I know you already know, but it always does good for me to remind even myself of this. When it comes to studying and reading God's Word, it is not about how much we can read. I know a lot of people that often say, well, hey, I read 6 chapters today. That's okay, but could I ask you, what'd you get out of it? There's nothing wrong with quantity of Scripture, but doesn't it make more sense to read 2 or 3, 4, 5, 10 verses and get some quality out of it? I've read the Bible through in a year, but I realize this, a lot of times in order to accomplish that, you have to read multiple chapters. And if you're not careful, what we'll do is we'll just be reading and we'll miss out on some of the most important things that God's trying to show. Now, thankfully, we're reading it, okay? I'm not saying we need to back off from reading it, but what we should emphasize is the quality that I'm getting from God's Word and not necessarily the quantity amounts that I'm trying to digest. But one of the most important tools that we need to continue in this life is to get in God's Word. It's our roadmap. It helps us through this life when we're up on the mountain and we're down in the valley. God's Word helps us, and we must get in God's Word. Number two, the second tool that I believe is of utmost importance, we got to be a person of prayer. Do you realize that prayer, the old song of many years ago used to say, prayer is the key that unlocks the door. But here's what we do when we pray. We share our petitions to God. But we also share our time of praise to the Lord. I shared this morning over to church over near us and on a different subject, but we was talking about the actual subject of prayer. And you know what happens so many times? We have no, this is me now. When I say that, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. So many times when we pray and we evaluate, or maybe we inventory our own prayer lives, if you was to do that tonight, I wonder how many times you pray for a need. And we should do that. But then I wonder how many times do we ever return back and thank God when He meets that need. You know what that is? It's praise. It's thanksgiving. It's returning back to Him when He has blessed us by meeting our needs and our petitions. Through prayer, we also seek out God's will for our lives. Brother BJ, I still remember the first time that I had an encounter with you and spoke to you kind of in a personal relation. Was it Luke Sproul's funeral? Standing between those high steps right in front of Sully, down to the edge of the road. If you don't careful, you'll step off on the curb, and that's right there on you. And we were standing right there after the service. They were getting ready to move the procession down to the cemetery. And as I stood and talked to your pastor, here's what he said to me. I'll never forget it. He came up, introduced himself, and I had knew of him an acquaintance, but I had the opportunity to talk to him for just a few moments. I had been a part of Brother Luke's funeral. I had been one of the speakers, and as we communicated there for a moment, here's what Brother BJ said. He said, if there was ever a man who believed in me, it was Luke Sproul. And we stood there and talked for a few moments, and he said, Luke Sproul believed in me. Brother BJ, you know why he believed in you? Because not only did he, but so many other people, and along with me as well, they prayed for you. And they prayed for me, and they prayed for you. You see, prayer is important. And here we find prayer as a vital tool to help us seek out God's will for our lives. Now, I've got a public announcement that you'll never believe. Everybody is not going to be a preacher. Now, wouldn't that be really a good thing? Could you imagine this place filled up with preachers that know everything? Could you imagine if everybody in the congregation would preach? You could never satisfy them because they'd always listen and be trying to up the other one, and they'd be back and forth. But see, the thing about it is when you think about God's will for our life, it's important to know if God wants us to be a part of the ministry, but God also has a specific will for you. Whether we're teaching, whether we're a lawyer, whether we're a doctor, whether we're working at the plant, whatever we're doing, we should always seek out God's will for our life. And you know what? Just because God's will, we should be willing if God desires to have us in the ministry, sure, but God's not going to put everybody in the ministry. Now, He gives us a ministry, but it may not necessarily be in the vocation type ministry. But here's how we find that. We pray. We share our petitions. We seek His will. And one of the most encouraging things that I try to say and do in regard to prayer is simply this. Don't be casual in your prayers. Be consistent. Back in December, January, John, you remember when we was coming back from Dallas County? State trooper stopped us. John was sitting in the back of the truck. Another guy was sitting over here. We was coming back from ball game. And I'm cruising along through Dallas County there, fashion I should. John was sitting back in the back. Chuck was sitting over here. Next thing I know, blue light. And the guy sitting over here next to me said, and I thought, you know, he was just going to whirl them and then turn them off. But he didn't. You know, I thought he was going, you know, and then I was going, and I did let off of it, you know, but I didn't realize how fast I was going. And I remember the guy sitting over next to us, John was in the back, the guy sitting over next to us. About the time those blue lights come on, and boy, I mean, they looked like there was 1,000 of them on that car, too. I mean, it looked good. They was everywhere, you know. And next thing I know, he says, "You think we need to pray?" And I remember telling him, I believe it's too late. I believe it's too late. But he did turn around real quick and whipped it around. I just went ahead and waited on him. And he talked to me a minute, and he was super nice. And I told him, he said, "You know how fast you was going?" And I have a friend of mine that really has an attitude when he gets stopped. And I remember one time he told me that the guy walked up into the window and he asked him, "Did you know what I stopped you for?" And his response were, "Have you done forgot walking up here?" That's not good, okay? That's not good. So if you have that thought in your mind, that's not good, all right? If he's walking up to the door and when he says, "Do you know what I've stopped you for?" If you really do know or don't know, don't tell him, "Have you already forgot?" All right? Because it didn't work out good. But I was nice, and I'm thinking the whole time, man. And he was so nice, and he said, "I tell you what, I'm just going to give you a warning." And I was like, but can I ask you seriously? Don't we most of the time, when it comes to prayer, most of the time, the only time most people ever pray is when they're in a jam. Most time when people find themselves in a difficult place, maybe they put themselves there, or maybe they didn't. Maybe a situation swarmed into their life that they didn't see coming. But you know what? There's a lot of people today who never offer up a word of prayer unless they're in a jam. You know what that is? That's just casual. We've got to be consistent in our prayer. Let me give you the last two. We got to pray. We got to get in God's Word. We got to go to church. Now, you're here tonight, so I'm speaking to the choir, okay? But we got to get into a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And I know Brother BJ, I consider him a friend of mine. But the thing about it is this, if you attend, and you don't because I know him, but if you have somebody or if you've ever encountered, if you're at a place where the Bible is not being preached and taught and directed in the way it should, we should find somewhere else. Because it's important that when we go to church, we have a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching atmosphere. And here's one that I really want to challenge you, and I know you do it because I see it so many times on Facebook. When it comes to going to church, I want you to be willing to involve yourself, plug yourself in to the local ministry of your church. If that means walking around and picking up candy paper after the people's left, if that means going and making sure all the toilets are flushed, or if that means you're serving on the board, whatever it is, plug yourself in and get connected. You know why most people like congregations of 500, 600, 800, 1,000 people? They get lost. Many times they come to a church, but here's the way I am. This is just me. I want to be able to walk out of this church and I want to be able to know if brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so was here or wasn't here. Now, I'm not against big churches. I'm not against 1,000, 1,200, 1,500. I'm not against that. But it's just something about me knowing, hey, because there's a lot of times we come home and I may not see them or I'm gone a lot during different meetings and different stuff, and a lot of times if I'm there, I may get in the car and I say, "Hey, was Sister So and So there?" "No, they weren't there." "What about Brother So?" "Oh yeah, he was there." You see, I like the atmosphere of knowing when people's there and not there. But the only way we do that is we involve ourselves and we seek out opportunities to get plugged in. And we got to be faithful. One of the tragedies of our day today is the lack of unfaithfulness among God's people. I hesitate to say this because I don't want you to think that I'm bragging. But I believe the best way we can check our own spiritual temperature in this regard is simply like this. If everybody in Union Chapel Church was just like you, how long would it stay open? Now think about it. If they came to church like you came, if they involved themselves outside of Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, if they involved themselves outside of those three opportunities, how long would it be open? If everybody gave like I gave, would the church still be open? You see, the key to success in going to church is just not showing up, but it's being a part of it. And I know you guys do that because I see so many times on Facebook the opportunity, and I watched and read each one of the screens as time was getting ready to start, and I seen all the activities and all the things that y'all had going, and that's wonderful. But here's what you can do, because I know what you're doing. You can then be the example to others of how it should be done. We get in God's Word. We pray. We go to church. Here's the last tool. We got to be willing to tell our story. Brother Ashley, what do you mean when you say tell our story? I'm not talking about all of our faults and failures and all of our past. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about telling our story of what Jesus Christ did for me. Here's what I think about the past of our lives tonight. I want to remember just enough of who I used to be so I never desire to be that person again. I tell our kids during the summer, because occasionally we have testimonial service, and I always encourage the kids on that night, look, this is not a time to tell about how bad you are and how bad you've done. I said, we've got a mix up on the testimony. A testimony is spending time telling how good God is, not how bad I was. He already knows that. And if we've been around people long enough, they know too. I'm thinking as I'm scanning across the crowd, Brother Shea, I met you and your family many years ago. I can tell you where I met you. Through rec league, through basketball, through activities, your kids and my kids. But you know what I say to Brother Shea and his wife tonight? I sure hope they remember me for more than basketball. I remember you for more than that. But I got to tell my story. It's not about my past. It's not about all my faults and failures. It's simply about telling how good God is. We got to be a light because the world around us is so dark. Let me close with this. The way we tell our story is really simple. We share it vocally and people see it visually. I've heard it said many years ago, and I don't take the credit for it. I heard someone many years ago say that I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. But in order for me to tell my story, I've got to be visual. They've got to see it. And I've got to be vocal. I don't mean beat them over the head. I don't mean, because sometimes we can do more hurt than help. But we've got to be willing to tell our story. And here's why. Because so many people today are depending on us. If I was to ask you tonight the hardest people to reach, for you to reach, you know what you'd say? Your family. Now, you would think that wouldn't be that way. You would think, well, my goodness, I can sit around the fire, or I can sit out on the porch, and I can ride down the road, man. That'd be easy. But facts tell it. Some of the hardest people to reach, to influence, is our own family. But see, not only does our family need to hear our story, but those around us. We're as close to Jesus as we want to be. And there's four tools. There's four tools, guys, that you can pick up. Not out of the bag. But if you want to continue, just as Paul looked to him and said, hey, Timothy, I need you to continue. I need you to stay affirmed. I need you to stay focused. I need you to keep going. And for us to be able to reach down and pick up these tools that will help us in this life, we got to pray. We got to get in God's Word. We got to go to church. And we got to tell our story. And if we'll take those four tools and we'll put them to applying in our own lives, I can promise you, God will be honored. He'll be honored. And you'll feel the blessings and the benefits of calling yourself a child of God. Could we stand for prayer? Brother BJ is going to come as soon as I